Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I got to let you know, I am so thrilled to let you know, Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album, is almost here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. You can pre-order from Sunday the 25th of February and album purchase from Sunday the 11th of March. Head to iTunes or Google Play. Hey everyone, our annual Presence Conference, wow, it's drawing so close. It's upon us already. John Gray, Jensen Franklin, Erwin Raphael McManus, Martin Smith, Levi and Nadia Mary Church will be joining Chris and I at the Sydney International Convention Center, the ICC, 24th to the 27th of April. We've called it Freedom is Here, believing that this and knowing that this is going to be a really wonderful time of people discovering their freedom in Christ. With 24 masterclasses, Presence Youth and Presence Kids, make sure you jump on presenceconference.com to see the full family conference we've prepared for you this coming April. Can't wait to see you there. So good to be here this morning. We're talking about healthy habits. And I want to take you to a scripture in John chapter 15, verse 1-8, which would be possibly my most favorite passage in the Bible. And I've possibly read this way more than any other passage in scripture, where Jesus is talking, announcing himself, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you." Everybody say, "Abide in me, and I in you." All right, so that's going to be the crux of what I want to talk about here this morning, but I want to travel through the rest of this passage before we do that. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." The phrase "abide in me" or "don't abide in me" or "I abide in you" is repeated many times throughout that passage. It's impossible to not notice how many times that talks about abiding in Jesus. Another word for that is make your home in Christ, or have a habitual lifestyle that locates you inside Jesus and Him inside you. Following Christ and starting a whole new way of life means starting a whole new way of patterns and customs and ways of doing life. And the way that we are going to be fruitful, this scripture is saying, is by habitually abiding in Jesus, not occasionally visiting him. He doesn't say, "Unless you occasionally visit me, you will not bear any fruit." He says, "You've got to abide in me." And abiding is a biblical word, if you like, for habit, creating a whole habit of living in Jesus and living in Christ. The power of habit cannot be underestimated. 45 to 50% of the actions we do every day are not decisions we make. They're done automatically, just out of habit. I find that driving a car, you like virtually don't know, you can't remember between the time you got in at home and the time you arrive at where you're going, because you're thinking about all sorts of other things. You're doing all sorts of other things. A good preacher friend of mine was in his car listening to a preaching message on the CD and reading a book at the same time. And he was actually in a funeral procession. He had just taken a funeral and now they were on their way to the cemetery. As they're driving along, he forgot where he was. He's reading his book, listening to it, because they were going so slow. And he looks up and says, man, that car in front of me is going slow. And he pulled out and went to pass. And then he remembered what he was doing. Oh, I'm the pastor. I'm in a funeral procession. So he pretended he was checking to see if their tire was flat and went back. And I can't tell you who it was. But Mark's still on staff. Hey, man. Hilarious. A lot of the things we do are just because it's habit. Most of us are creatures of habit. Men who shave, start shaving on the same side, brush your teeth on the same side. There's a whole range of things that we have learned to do by habit. And habit creates who you are. People know you by what you habitually do. You've become predictable. A person who's always late, somebody will say, oh, you can't rely on them. But the person who's always on time or early, they can be built on. They can be relied upon. They have developed trustworthiness because of a continual habit pattern. We live in a really transient world. Like when I was a kid, and I don't mean to sound like, yeah, when I was a kid, which wasn't that long ago, but the sense of consistency and predictability was far higher. It was like your parents banked with that bank. They lived in that house, the same that their parents had lived in, and there was one marriage, and there was, you know, and our world has changed dramatically. And there's a high level of transience. People change jobs, like can have 5 to 10 jobs in one lifetime, live in 10 different towns. Whereas that sense of order and settledness that was around many years ago, it provided a level of stability and security and order that isn't so prevalent in some people's worlds today. Although there's a lot of advantages as well in the way that we have adopted our new world lifestyle, if you like. However, there are some downsides. And the downside is feeling like we're rootless and we don't really belong, and that we arrange our lives not for loyalty or those, but what benefits we get out of it. So whatever bank's offering the deal, we go for that. Whatever house we can get the highest capital gain on, we'd go for that. Whatever job is wherever. And so that aim in life to get a better deal for me at the expense of loyalty, at the expense of good friendships and relationships and solid lifestyle, can undermine an ability to abide, to create habits that are long-lasting. The fact is that repeated action creates a habit. Habit creates character, which is who we are, and character creates destiny. The direction of your life will always be determined by your character. Your character is formed out of what you do repeatedly, which is called a habit. So good habits are going to give you a great destiny. Bad habits, as Mark was just saying, $300,000 on cigarettes and $1 million on the pokies, that's habits that are going to continually bring destruction into your life. The best way to break a bad habit is to begin a good one in exactly the same place. And so here today, I would like to think that you will get a little motivated maybe and inspired to begin a good habit. I'm going to get to one good habit that will really serve you well all the days of your life. But I just wanted to talk firstly about the power of habit. And habit is the way that you achieve anything. I mean, it's one thing to get motivated and inspired. All of us have had motivation and inspiration about getting fit, losing weight, all those things. They're two of the most commonly decided on New Year's resolutions. But by the time February hits, all those gym memberships are doing are paying the gym's rent, and you're not there. Most gyms survive on the people who don't turn up. And because so many have bought it in a moment of inspiration, but to maintain the commitment. And we've got to learn to change gear from inspiration and motivation over to commitment, because that's where habits are formed. And that's when we start to live life on automatic and we just keep doing things that are going to actually benefit us or do the opposite. Let me read you an ode to this concept that we're talking about. You may know me. I'm your constant companion. I'm your greatest helper. I'm your heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am at your command. Half the tasks you do might as well be turned over to me. I'm able to do them quickly, and I'm able to do them the same every time if that's what you want. I'm easily managed. All you've got to do is be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want it done. After a few lessons, I'll do it automatically. I am the servant of all great men and women. Of course, servant of all the failures as well. I've made all the great men who have ever been great, and I've made all the failures too. But I work with all the precision of a marvelous computer and the intelligence of a human being. You may run me for profit or you may run me to ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, be firm with me, and I'll put the world at your feet. Be easy with me and I'll destroy you. Who am I? I'm habit. Habit is the ability. Yeah, go ahead. Just think about that for a second. The definition in the dictionary of habit is an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. That's the power of habit. One thing to be motivated, I'm gonna go to the gym, I'm gonna develop muscle. You go down there and you might pick up a 25 kilo dumbbell and think, oh, a couple times, that'll do it, where's the muscle? It ain't gonna be there, it needs like 1,000 times. At my age, 10,000 times before even metabolism recovers from the 40s. The thing is, we've got to understand that it takes more than just getting inspired to do something. Once we're doing it, we've got to change gear and get past that point where it's painful. I mean, I remember first going to the gym and I thought, wow, that's starting to burn, I should stop. No, that's just the time to start going because now something's happening. Now that it's just a little bit of a strain, it's a little bit difficult, now's the time to press through that painful moment and establish the pattern, establish a habit in your life that you start to feel like I can't get through a day without doing that. And so once you're getting these habits, you will build in your physical world muscle, but in your character world, that's the only way that character is built, by repeatedly doing that same good thing over and over on a daily basis. I can't ask you to come down the front here and put my hand on your head and pray for character to be gifted into your life. Character is not a gift. God can't say, oh, I've got a gift for you. It's called character. Character is built into our life. And that's how you build a great life, by following Christ and saying, I'm just gonna start assuming responsibility for my life. Now, I've been accused as a Christian of, oh, you just came to Jesus because you needed a crutch. You need something to lean on. Well, us guys, we rely on, you know, ciggies and gambling and all that, but you're relying on Jesus. But I have found coming to Christ is not like that at all. He got a hold of my crutches and busted them and threw them away. He says, stand up on your own feet. I'm not standing up leaning. I'm leaning and depending on Christ. Definitely there is a sense of that. But I tell you, he pushes me up on my own feet. So I'm walking and in my own steps and being responsible for my own actions. And God has to bring us to that point because there's a judgment day. And God could not judge anybody if we were not responsible for our own actions. We live in a really convenient age where it was my parents' fault or it was society's fault or it's my genetic coding or it's some other thing. But at the end of the day, you and I have the power to make decisions about our life, and we've got to actually accept that fact and say, today I'm going to make a decision that my life is going to be different. I can do it. Listen to me, as soon as you make that decision, there'll be a power from God unleashed into your heart that'll assist you every step of the way. Even though it is difficult, even though it is hard, you're gonna find yourself walking into a whole new way of living. And that new way of living involves new habits, new lifestyles, new programming of the way you think. If we live by our feelings, which is often regarded as the way we should be living, if you feel like doing it, you should be doing it. If it don't feel like doing it, don't do it. The fact is, your feelings are a poor ruler of your life. even if they're positive, oh, I felt like I could do this and I had a go at it and I feel so positive today, I'm gonna go to church. You know, and if you let feelings dictate to you what you're gonna do, you'll be up and down all like a roller coaster all your life. You have to make commitments so that whether you feel like doing it or not, you're just gonna go ahead and do it. Because half of the good things in life are achieved by doing things you don't wanna do. Your mind also is a very good servant, but a very poor ruler. If you think, oh, that'd be a good idea if I did that, and you go ahead and do it just because you think of it, there has to be a level of preset priorities in your life that reflect what you value. And the things you value, like I value the church, I value God. And so my priorities are linked to that. So my financial priorities are in that zone. My time priorities are in that zone. My relational priorities will be reflected in the habits that I form around those values and those priorities. I'm not wondering what my purpose in life is. I know what it is. It's to serve Him. So I do the basics. The basics are just forming a lifestyle and a pattern that are going to reflect that. And the four big ones in following Christ are prayer, reading the Bible, going to church, and serving, doing something for Him, being His hands and His feet. So today I want to talk about that habit of prayer being a regular feature of our lives on an absolutely daily basis. Jesus Himself had customs in His life. He had habits in His life. Luke 4:16, it says, so Jesus came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, as His habit was, He went to church on the Sabbath day and He stood up to read. So there are other passages that talk about as His custom was, He withdrew and prayed. He had predictable patterns in His life that He knew what He was going to do because He had already said, this is how I'm going to live my life. And while you're doing one thing, you can't do another, which is awesome. You say, why is that so awesome? Because if you're praying, you're not watching something dodgy on the internet. If you're putting your money into the kingdom of God, you're not putting in a pokey machine. And it weirds me out when I hear that people, you know, and you read stories of people who've gambled away their whole life savings in their home, and they're critical of me giving a few bucks to the church, amen, of giving 10% down at the house of God, when they've kind of lost 100% to a thing that's never gonna bring it back into your world, that doesn't cause any blessing over your life. When you bring your finances into the house of God, you are entering into a covenant with the Creator of the ends of the earth to bring blessing on your life. My Lord. As if I'm going to complain about that. And it's not a thing that I feel like tithing this week? It's a commitment. It's a habit. It's a lifestyle. It's a custom. And Jesus had these customs in His life. You and I should put them in our life because that's how you will build a great life. It doesn't come just from laying on of hands or impartations or experiences or events. It comes through a day-by-day habit in our life. All the apostles, all the New Testament preachers and leaders of the church all had these customs right down through the history of the world. You'll find every great person, every great leader, every great church person, they had habits in their lives, and that's what God built on in their world. So let's talk about prayer. Prayer is called by Jesus a daily event. When the disciples said, teach us how to pray. He said, okay, this is how you'll do it. You go, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Five things to do with God before He even gets to talking about you. So when I start to pray in the morning, I start to praise Him, thank Him, worship Him, rather than say, hey God, I'm in trouble, I need some help. So I'm not living a self-absorbed Christian life. So I'm not feeling like God's there for me, but rather I'm here for Him. To get myself out of that self-centered lifestyle is a decision I make, not only to pray, but how I pray. So that I will discipline myself to spend at least 5-10 minutes just praising God, worshiping, thanking, and saying, Lord, you're awesome. You're amazing. So it gets me out of my head, gets me out of my, to being tied up in my world. And I start to think in his world, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm here for you, Lord. It's not like you're here for me. And then finally, I get to pray, give us today our daily bread so I can pay the mortgage. Amen. So give us today. And that tells me it's a daily prayer. Give us this day. It also tells me it's in the morning because he's not saying, thank you for having given me my bread in the past day. He's saying, give us today. If you pray in the morning, you'll have bread for that day. Because while you pray, you'll hear. You'll think of things. You'll feel things. You get strong on the inside. You'll have emotional strength for the challenges and the battles that you're going to face that day. If your output exceeds your input, your upkeep will be your downfall. You need to have more coming in than going out. When I stand here, for every 6 minutes I'm speaking, I need to know I've given 60 minutes in prayer and in study. I'm not going to turn up here and just think, oh yeah, man, I've been watching TV all morning and reading novels last night, and what am I going to talk about at church tomorrow? I spent a week cooking what I'm going to talk about because I want to feed people. I want to feed the spirit of saints and give you guidance. But my output has got to be exceeded by my input. So I'm getting more in, and I've got a big ice, 9/10 of iceberg underneath that's going to give the 1/10 above ground that's visible some power and some force. This last week, we were talking to 700 pastors in Queensland, C3 pastors in Australia. We have 14 conferences like that around the world, each in 14 different regions, C3 conferences. Over the years, that's called fruitfulness. The reason there is that fruitfulness is because we have abided in the vine, just developed habits. There's nothing extraordinary about yours truly. There is about this team, of course, but I'm just saying that the most extraordinary thing we've got is that we have remained in Christ. We spend time in prayer, we spend time in the scriptures, we spend time in worship, and that will cause you to be fruitful. Not, maybe not successful all the time, maybe not achieving high things, but fruitfulness is what Jesus is looking for to come out of our lives, and you won't get it unless you abide in him. Trying to create fruit with marketing or trying to create fruit with advertising or registrations or whatever isn't going to work. You got to put yourself inside Jesus and let Jesus juice, if you like, flow through your life. And that is what is going to make the difference. Without prayer, the New Testament doesn't work. You might be trying to live that Christian life, but if you don't just put yourself aside for 5 minutes in the morning, or maybe 10 minutes. Once I'm in there for 10 minutes, I want to stay there. If you're there for 30 minutes, you're wishing you had a little more time. But somewhere down the line, we need to begin the habit of prayer. The power of habit will build character in your world. And the most powerful habit you could have that will serve you well throughout the entire days of your life, and not only you, but your marriage, your family, your children, your circumstances, it will not stop you having trouble. It'll help you navigate your way through it though. It'll help you rise above it into a whole new dimension. Nothing of the promises of the New Testament are going to actually materialize in our lives until we appropriate them in the room of prayer. Defeating the enemies that are coming against you, spiritual powers, happens in prayer. Hearing from God happens in prayer. Communing with the most wonderful person you could ever hope to meet, the creator of the universe, your Father, happens in prayer. You can't have a relationship without God unless you put yourself aside and you pray. When Jesus said, watch and pray, he wasn't talking about watching TV and praying while you do that. He was saying, be awake, be alert, go into your closet. Now, I'm not sure what kind of closets they had then, but I'm not sure you want to go into your closet and pray because it's kind of squishy in there. But what he's saying is, shut the door. Let it be exclusive. Don't be just on your device doing things. Don't be reading a book and praying. Just pray. Just pray. Just give yourself exclusively to time with him. Don't be afraid of him. He loves you. He has ached from the beginning of time to walk with you in the cool of the day. He wants you to be his friend. He's already your friend. Friends can't be friends unless they're communicating. Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is unloading your burdens. Some of the best therapy you could ever have is simply to spend some time in the presence of God. The way that you unload a burden on him is not by saying, God, I give you my burden. That's the beginning, but it doesn't happen just because you said it. It takes time for those emotions to disentangle from your makeup and for him to take them. It might take 10 minutes, it might take half an hour, it might take an hour, but eventually that transaction will take place. And in that transaction, you'll feel strength coming into your soul, making you equal for whatever's coming at you that day. When we're emotionally exhausted, and most people in our city do feel tired, exhausted, the Bible says those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll have youthful energy. And you'll get a hold of something that can't be gotten anywhere else. The Bible says, why do you spend money on that which is not bread? Why do we spend so much money trying to get nourishment from things that don't nourish us? Spend another $100 on whatever, movies and games and things, and the money's gone, but we're no better off. We're just entertained maybe. But if we come to him, it's free. The only price you pay, then he says, come buy wine and milk without price. How do you buy something that's got no price on it? You pay the price of prayer. Simply spending some time and paying that price of time. If you give him time in the morning, you'll find you've got more time than you need throughout the day. The reason we keep running out of time is we've given no time to him. We always reap what we sow. And if we would come into the presence of God and develop a habit from this day forward of prayer, moving beyond inspiration into commitment and saying, I'm going to make this a lifestyle for the rest of my days. It's going to become a part of my life so that if I don't get up in the morning and spend that time with him, it's going to feel like emptiness is on the inside of me. I've got to do that. And all I can do is urge you as believers to stand up on the inside, not create a dependent lifestyle, but actually to create a self-sufficient spiritual life where you are strong, powerful, and filled with the Holy Spirit every day of your life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Can we all stand as we come to a close here? Thank you, Father, for the power of prayer in our lives. We also thank you for the power of habit in our human frame, that we can program ourselves like a computer almost and see ourselves fulfilling great plans that God has put in our lives through lifestyles that are predictable. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll help us embrace those things that build strong character and great lives. We wouldn't just be chasing after the next pleasure or the next thing that feels good, but we'd opt for a higher lifestyle. Father, draw near to every person in this room today. I thank you for the many, many different wonderful people that are in our service this morning. And I pray that you'll help every one of us discover Jesus. Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.